Today's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. Jesus comes to Jerusalem and spends the last week of his public life. Prior to that, in Mark chapter 8 to 10, Jesus taught three times that the Son of Man would suffer greatly, be killed, and rise again on the third day. During these teachings, he proclaimed the gospel message. The third message provided more details about Jesus' death and resurrection. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." In the latter part of Mark 14 through 16, we witness Jesus' prophecy about his suffering and death come true. Jesus came into this world with a selfless purpose of giving himself up for us. He did not suffer or die because he was coerced, but because he willingly chose to fulfill God's eternal plan. God's will was to offer his Son as a ransom for us hopeless sinners, and Jesus willingly gave himself up for this purpose. He was crucified and killed in order to atone for our sins and fulfill God's plan. Therefore, Jesus' suffering and death are called penal substitutionary atonement. This means that Jesus Christ took the full punishment for our sins in our place. This world does not believe in the suffering and death of Jesus and does not want to see it this way. This is because if they acknowledge that Jesus' death paid the penalty for their sins on their behalf, they must acknowledge that they are hopeless sinners. Some think that Jesus was just the great man and the one who lived the best and most morally exemplary life, even loving his enemies until death. But they don't realize that they were God's enemies who sinned by killing God's Son. They cannot accept the gospel that God the Son took the punishment of eternal damnation in hell that they deserved, because they don't think they are such hopeless and depraved sinners. Therefore, the gospel of the cross is a stumbling block and foolishness to this world. However, for you and me, the gospel of the cross is the power and wisdom of God and our only hope. Through this gospel of the cross, through Jesus on the cross, God saves those who believe and judges those who do not believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And now from today's text, we finally see how Jesus goes to the cross to bear our sins and to receive the punishment. After eating the last Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus sings praises with his disciples and goes to Mount Olives, where he is arrested by servants and soldiers sent by Jewish leaders and crucified on Golgotha. We must remember that Jesus' path of suffering on the cross was for me, on my behalf, and in my place. It is here that we discover how hopeless, totally depraved, and unable sinners we are. This aspect of us is also clearly visible in the disciples in today's text. Jesus says this in verse 27 of today's text. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.'" In this passage, Jesus says that his disciples will abandon him. Despite being closest to him and having a deep relationship with him, they will still leave him. Jesus acknowledges that sinners will abandon him as well. However, it is very important to understand that Jesus goes to the cross to save hopeless sinners who have abandoned him. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah 13 verse 7, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones." The events that would occur when Jesus went to the cross have been prophesied in advance in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. This means that when God struck Jesus, who was the shepherd, all of Jesus' sheep were scattered and they abandoned him. This is why Jesus tells his disciples that they will all abandon him, even though Peter assures him that he will not. In today's text, it is revealed that all the disciples make the same assurance, but in reality, they will all abandon Jesus. It becomes evident that their oaths are futile and that they are weak sinners. In verse 50, when Jesus is arrested, all the disciples abandon him and run away. Mark chapter 14, verse 50, "And they all left him and fled." These disciples represent us. The Bible tells us that we are all such sinners. That is why we all abandon Jesus, and he will carry the cross alone. When Jesus said, "You will all abandon me," Peter confessed in verse 29. Mark chapter 14, verse 29, Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." In Luke 22, Peter also confesses this. Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Peter confidently assures Jesus that he will never abandon him, even if everyone else does. He believes that he is determined to stay faithful to the Lord no matter what. Many of us may feel the same way, that we are stronger than others and will never fall into sin. However, Jesus reminds Peter that such resolutions and assurances do not always work. In verse 30, Jesus says this to Peter, and Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Then Peter speaks to Jesus again. Mark chapter 14, verse 31. But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. In this passage, Peter once again assures Jesus that he would never deny him, even if it meant dying. He passionately proclaimed, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." However, it wasn't only Peter who made this promise. All the disciples also pledged the same loyalty. Unfortunately, as we read in verse 50, when Jesus was arrested, all the disciples deserted him and ran away. And then as we see in verse 66, Peter denies Jesus three times, just as Jesus had foretold, and even goes so far as to curse and swear. Here we see the sinful nature of human beings being exposed, which is a source of great sadness. Despite making promises and swearing to do better, we are all sinners who are unable to live a sinless life. Peter and his disciples had initially vowed to never deny Jesus, even if it meant sacrificing their own lives. However, when Jesus prophesied that they would all abandon him, they felt that he did not truly understand their devotion and loyalty, and thus they vowed even more passionately to never forsake him. The issue with the disciples was not the sincerity of their hearts, but rather the fact that they were inherently flawed and fallen human beings who possessed a sinful nature that could not be corrected by their own efforts. They were completely incompetent sinners who could never please God. Their arrogance stemmed from their inability to recognize the truth about their own sinful nature. When we preach the gospel to others, they get angry and deny that they are hopeless sinners. Jesus once told Peter and the other disciples that they would all abandon him, but they refused to believe it and even became more arrogant. They raised their voices and insisted that they would never deny Jesus. This kind of prideful thinking reveals a sinful nature of believing that one is better than others. Peter even said that even if all the other disciples abandoned Jesus, he would not. However, his words were filled with pride and arrogance. The pride of the people blocks Jesus' path to the cross. They refuse to acknowledge that Jesus had to go to the cross to save them as hopeless sinners. This is similar to when Peter held on to Jesus and protested when Jesus first said in Mark 8 that the Son of Man must suffer and be killed. Jesus rebuked Peter at that time, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but rather on the things of men." Today we can see that Peter still thinks of the things of men rather than the things of God, and does not acknowledge that Jesus had to go to the cross to save him. This means that he is not acknowledging the gospel. As we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we must recognize that it was made for hopeless sinners, including ourselves. Through the disciples, we see the sin of pride, which involves failing to acknowledge our own depravity and inability without God. Pride also involves the belief that we can please God with our abilities, wisdom, and works, that we can save ourselves and are above others. This attitude rejects the need for Jesus, denying his sacrifice on the cross. Pride is a sin that goes against the gospel. No matter how humble someone may appear, if they do not acknowledge their own sinfulness and their need for Jesus, they are arrogant before God. It's important to keep this in mind and avoid falling into the trap of pride. In today's text, we can see how Jesus exposed the deep-rooted sinfulness of his disciples. From a worldly perspective, they might not have appeared arrogant. However, Jesus showed them how they did not acknowledge their sinfulness. This is similar to how sinners who do not believe or acknowledge the gospel of the cross, even when it's preached. It's only when we acknowledge our own sinfulness and believe in Jesus that we can experience the amazing grace of God. By holding on to the grace of Jesus, we can live a life that pleases God. This humility is what He desires from us, so it's important to listen to God when He tells us about our true nature and the reality of our sins. Only by acknowledging our sinfulness can we truly experience the grace of God and grow in faith in the image of Jesus. May God's grace be with us all. Romans chapter 3 verses 10 through 12, verses 23 and 24. As it is written, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are all sinners in need of Jesus' saving grace. Our only hope is found in His atoning sacrifice. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said that even Peter, one of His closest disciples, would deny Him 3 times before the rooster crowed twice. This event serves as a reminder that we are all capable of falling short and turning away from our faith. Therefore, we must hold fast to the cross of Jesus as our only hope. Let us take a closer look at Mark chapter 14, verses 54, to understand the process behind Peter's denial. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. And Peter had followed Him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. When Jesus was arrested, Peter followed Him from a distance, which revealed his true heart. Peter could not completely deny or abandon Jesus, but he could not follow Him closely either. A life that denies Jesus begins with this: when hardships and trials come, when one's life is in trouble, or when they interfere with their life of seeking worldly glory, they are ready to abandon Jesus and run away at any time. Yet they still claim to believe in Jesus. People say they believe in Jesus and follow Him, but instead of making Jesus their Lord and serving Him happily while following the path He takes, they still follow Jesus from a distance as if they are the master of their own life. This is the reality of what we are like now. The sin of denying Jesus grows from here. Eventually, it will be revealed. Peter's sin was also revealed, and there will be times when our sins will be revealed too. However, it is grace that our sin is revealed. At that moment, those who receive grace from Jesus will understand that they will need Him and that there is no hope without Him. This will make us follow Jesus more closely and grow in faith. Jesus did this to Peter. He made him repent, turn around, and follow Jesus closely. It was all by grace. I hope that this grace will also be given to all believers, including me. In today's text, Jesus shows us, informs us, and makes us realize that our hope, as well as that of the disciples, lies only in Him. This is true even as He goes to the cross. Dear saints, as I mentioned earlier, if you read Mark chapter 14 and 15, you will see that everyone, including the chief priests, elders, and scribes, betrayed Jesus. Judas Iscariot betrayed Him, Peter denied Him, and the remaining disciples fled. Even the Jews demanded that Jesus be crucified, and the Gentile governor allowed it. We too are among those who abandoned Jesus. But what sin did Jesus commit to deserve such hatred and persecution? Shouldn't God punish all these sinners? However, Jesus went to the cross and bore our sins to save us, and even His enemies who killed Him. He paid for our sins by shedding His blood on the cross, and saved us from sin, death, and judgment. When He was resurrected on the third day, we were also resurrected to eternal life and will live with Jesus forever in heaven, where there is no sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We confess that we are helpless sinners and that only Jesus can save us and give us hope. Therefore, we rely solely on His grace, staying close to Him, and joyfully following the path that He takes us on. In the past, we tried to move forward on our own strength without admitting our weaknesses. However, we now boast of our weaknesses and move forward, relying on the power of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of My weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It's not about us, but about Jesus and the gospel. By having faith in the gospel, we can live as new people. Through the gospel, Christ's life within us makes us new. We should hold on to the grace of Christ in the gospel and live boldly, pleasing Christ. Even if we fall and fail, Jesus will raise us up with the gospel of the cross and allows us to live a new life as Christians. Therefore, we must preach only the gospel of the cross and hold on to it tightly. The gospel of the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. In today's text, after Jesus says that everyone will abandon Him in verse 27, He says in verse 28, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." What does this passage mean? It teaches that Jesus will never abandon His disciples, even if they abandon Him. After He completes His work of salvation, which includes shedding His blood and dying on the cross, He will be resurrected and go to Galilee to wait for His disciples. He will share the good news of salvation with them and restore them. This is a reminder to us that no matter how much we fall and fail, God always offers us the good news of the gospel and restores us. Jesus loves us and His disciples unconditionally, and His love is evident in this passage when He reveals their sins and shows them that only He can offer them salvation. His words to Peter, who claimed he would never deny Lord, reveal Jesus' love and understanding of human weakness. Despite Peter's denial, Jesus forgives him and restores him. This is a powerful message of hope and love for us all. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Jesus revealed Peter's sins, but instead of condemning him, He promised to protect him from falling into evil. He prayed that Peter's faith would not fail and that he would repent. Jesus took the burden of Peter's sins upon Himself and died on the cross to pay for them. After His resurrection, Jesus appeared to Peter and restored him. This is an example of how salvation endures until the end. In John chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, He appeared to His disciples for the third time. During this encounter, He approached Peter and asked him three times if he loved him, and each time Jesus gave him a mission. This may seem strange because Peter had previously denied and abandoned Jesus, but still Jesus chose to visit him. Peter responded to the question by professing his love for Jesus, but his tone had shifted from the previous strong and emphatic assurances he had given. Now he recognized and appreciated the Lord's love, and he held on to it as his only hope, as well as the Lord's grace. After Peter's confession, Jesus entrusted him with the responsibility of strengthening his brothers and taking care of his sheep. From that moment on, Peter lived a new life that fulfilled the Lord's will. This life involved caring for the Lord's sheep, building the Lord's church, and strengthening his brothers. Dear saints, Jesus comes to us and preaches the gospel to us sinners who have failed and are bound to fail again. He assures us that he has never abandoned us or left us. He says that he has accomplished salvation for us and has forgiven all our sins. He has prayed for us so that our faith will not falter and we will not fall into evil. Therefore, he encourages us to rise up again. We should leave behind all the things that we have failed, abandoned, run away from, and denied. We should stand up again and move forward, holding on to the love and grace of Jesus. No matter how many times we fail, we should get up again and again. Even if we sin and fail again, we should not abandon our faith and be judged because Jesus will not fail. He will continue to restore us. Let us remember this message of hope and keep our faith strong. We have reached this point by receiving grace, and we are committed to never abandoning or denying our faith in Jesus. We will run the race of faith with perseverance, keeping our eyes fixed on the future and our ultimate goal of living in love with Jesus. Let us listen to the words that reveal our true end in heaven. The book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.